And as I think about my wife, and as I think about each of you guys, being mothers and mentors and aunts, and someday maybe being mothers, and what this day is really about, and just special. And so as I was, as I've been praying and been thinking about it, I decided, you know, I think this would be also a good time to start a new series and talk about some things that as I read through the life of Jesus Christ, I think it's something that we all will be able to relate to. We'll be all be something that will conjure up a lot of emotions and feelings about the life of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to just take this time to tell you how I feel. I feel joyful. I feel joyful that you guys are here. I feel joyful that the ones that need to be home or at home with their families, I thank you for being here, and for those that are watching. I feel joyful that. I feel joyful that my mom is here today. I feel compassionate. I feel passion and compassion about the ones that can't be here for certain reasons because they're taking care of other people. And or taking care of themselves in a certain situation. Also, if I'm honest, I feel sad because there's a day like this, or Father's Day, Christmases, Thanksgiving, certain things that come up, and I think about if I'm honest, the things that also will come about, certain emotions that we feel today on certain holidays and reminders and awesome memories and of people that have gone on to be with the Lord. And so a lot of emotions. But I want to ask just three foundational questions here really quick. As a mother, what kind of emotions are you feeling at this time? Number two, what kind of emotions have you felt over the years? And number three, what are you expecting to feel in the next few years? What are you expecting to feel? When you think about how you feel, when you think about what you have felt over the years and how is that different from today, is it the same? Is it up and down different? How does that look to you? And what are you thinking about? What are you expecting to feel in just a few more years? And a lot for many of us, it's hard to know what we're going to feel, but we can look back at our past and say, here's where I am right now, and here's where I was, but here's where I plan to be. How many of you guys walked into work or church and someone asked you, how are you doing? And you basically responded, I'm good. Or you responded, I'm fine. Or if you're really feeling spiritual, you would say, oh, I'm like so blessed. You know, I'm like so, so blessed. Like so blessed. And you're like, okay, I got it. Okay, you're good. You're better than me. All right? There's your grading here, you know. But how many of you guys just do that? You walk through different places and people ask you at work or they ask you at school. They ask you here at church, how you doing? And you know the answer that you're supposed to give because you know that person, they care. But you know that they're not going to sit there and listen for a whole long period of time, you know. So you're going to kind of give them what they want, you know. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm so blessed. Now leave me alone. Or do you really, really, truly want to know how I'm doing? Maybe today, how many of you ask someone today or somebody ask you, how are you doing today? How many of you guys, someone ask you, how you doing today when you came in? Oh man, we got to work on our customer service here. We need to edit that part out, Justin. For now on, everybody ask everybody how they're doing, okay? We got like three hands that went up. No, obviously no one wants to ask the question, you know? Maybe it's because sometimes when we get asked that question, or maybe if you know someone, maybe you're a little scared to ask that question. Maybe sometimes we're a little leery of what type of answer they're going to give you. But how many of you guys have ever used the good, I'm fine, I'm blessed, to be able to move on when you're really actually feeling, when you go into that day, you're really actually feeling maybe a little bit sad. Maybe you're feeling a little bit empty. Maybe you're feeling a little bit hurt. Maybe you're feeling a little bit bitter. Maybe you're feeling angry that day. Maybe you're like me and you just feel confused. That's a lot. It happens a lot. Maybe you're like me and you feel tired. How you doing? I'm really tired. Well, you were tired yesterday. I know. I'm even more tired today. And so you know what you want to say, but you need to say that I'm good, I'm fine, I'm extremely blessed. I've said these words, and I've had many people tell me that. And then you come up with a follow-up question. And you know, sometimes you don't want the follow-up question. You know what the follow-up question is. No, seriously, how are you really doing? Dang it. I don't have that kind of time. Oh, I got plenty of time. Call me tonight. No! Please call me tonight. Evidently, you're angry. Evidently, you're hurt. Evidently, you're upset. That's because you're making me mad right now. Quit talking to me. You know, it's one of those things. So this morning, I want us to be able to think as women, as mothers, as grandmothers, as aunts, as mentors. Wake up, men. As men, as grandfathers, as dads, as uncles, you're not getting off the boat on this just because it's Mother's Day. I want to know how you're doing. How are we doing here at the church? How are you doing? Are we, as a church, doing what we are really doing at home when no one is really watching? When people are at home and you can just be raw, where you can just be real, where you can just be vulnerable, where you can just be who you are when no one else is, when you're exercising and working out, don't know what that's like, but when you are eating alone, okay? Whatever it may be. That's the only thing. Quit judging me. I see all these emotions going up there. I'm going to need counseling in a minute, okay? But all these people that, you know, how are you doing when you think about when you are by yourself? Are we being transparent? I mean, this is the church, right? We are the church, right? And so if we can't be real at home and we can't be real at work or real at school, can we be real with each other in this family of God, in this body of Christ, where this is where we're supposed to be real? This is supposed to be where we're supposed to be raw? This is supposed to be where we're supposed to get involved in each other's lives and welcome more people into our lives and give them our time and commitment and discipleship and love and all the emotions that we need? If we can't do it here, then where are we going to get it? Because if you don't get it at home and you don't get it at work, because there's just not enough time. Well, then we got to make time here at church. So I want to do something today. I want every single person today that's listening, that's here with us, I want everyone to be able to be real to feel. I made that up myself. I made all this. I want everybody to be real to feel. When you are real and with your emotions and how you feel, I want you to understand that that is really actually the marking of being a Christian. Because that is the way you were made, and that's what Jesus Christ was all about. Jesus Christ had raw emotions. Jesus Christ had real emotions. Jesus Christ had vulnerable emotions. Jesus Christ had honest emotions. Hey, Troy, I'm a woman. I don't need to feel right now. Walls are up. Don't want to feel. hurts too bad, don't want to deal with it, don't have time for it. Hey, Troy, I'm a man. I don't feel. I don't have emotions. Well, you're in the right place then today. How many of you guys, I don't know if you've seen this, that commercial where they talk with that guy speaking to a group of people that are like 40 and up, 50 and up, 60 and up, I don't know, and he's talking about, and the one guy's coming, am I hashtagging right now? You know, have you seen that commercial where they don't know? How many of you guys are emoji people? Anybody emoji people? This may be that commercial right now. They're like, am I emojiing right now? If I sit here enough, do I emoji? I'm kind of like I'm an emoji kind of guy. If my kids know this about me, my wife, she'll send me something. It's about 4 or 5 sentences long on the text, and I'll come back with one emoji. It's a smiley face. It's laughing. It looks confused. It's whatever. And I know what she's thinking. Is that all I'm getting? Sometimes I'm just an emoji kind of guy. And sometimes we're just emoji type of people. We wanted to make sure that we just make it simple. We just get to the point. Sometimes we just say, I don't really have time to go into detail on how I really feel, even though a lot of times what I've heard over the years is, what I need from you is to listen. What I need from you is to tell me how you feel about it. What I need from you, man or woman, counseling 101, is that I need to not only have your trust and your commitment, but I also need your communication. You cannot emoji me if you want to be able to have a marriage. You cannot just emoji me if you're going to be a godly parent. You cannot just emoji your life away. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to live as Jesus Christ lived. And so often, and we can do this so often in our life, we emoji everything. We just want to keep it simple. We just want to get to the point. We just want to get it off and say, this sums up how I feel. And then Jesus shows up. 100% God, 100% human being. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, the triune, the Trinity, was there from the beginning and will be there till the end. And there, when he created Jesus Christ, when he created that of himself as the triune and the Holy Spirit to come inside of your life, when he began to knit you together in your mother's womb, when he began to create the image of him in you, there he created a very, very special gift with all sorts of emotions and feelings. Vulnerable, honest, raw, real emotions is Jesus Christ, is God. God never set up an example for us to say, well, I wonder how Jesus felt about that. I wonder how God felt about that, where we don't know how God felt about anything. Isn't that cool that we do know how God felt about everything? That we understand through his emotions, that through his word, that we can see how he felt about things, so it allows us, it gives us allowance for us to be able to know how to feel, but also to know how to feel spiritually and to feel without sinning. There's a lot of times when we feel emotions, and those emotions will take us somewhere. Raw emotions were created by the great I am. So if God can feel, if God does feel, then what should we do? Would you turn with me to Genesis 1:26-27? We're going to move around a lot, so stay with me. Genesis 1:26-27. Let me build the foundation really quick. Genesis 1:26-27 says this. Then God said, let us make human beings. In what? In our what? Don't you look, you see that word O-U-R? In his image, in our image, who's the our? You see where I'm going with this? Who's up there with God Almighty? In our image, to be like what? Us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals will scurry along the ground. Verse 27, so God created human beings in what? In his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Don't forget that last part, because that gets taken away so much these days. Acts 17:28. It says, for in him, it will be also up here, for in him we live and move and exist. And some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. So who are we created for? Who are we created by? Who are we created in? That of God. You are perfectly designed. You were created with the personality of the image of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, who has an incredible personality with all different kinds of emotions. Psalms 139, 13 through 14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. That's an understatement, right? How well I know it. You hear those words where you know that you know that you know. It's not a debate where you came from. It's not a debate. He made us. He created you. He's been thinking about you from the beginning of time. So what are emotions? This word emotion comes from the Latin word emovere. You might have saw this in my bulletin. As a sermon, emovere. And maybe some of you might even looked it up. What in the world is emovere? Well, this is what it is. The word emotion literally is a Latin word, emovere, to move. That's what it means. It means to move. So God has given us emotions to what? To move us. The question is where are the emotions taking us? Where does your emotions take you? When you have any normal emotion, the emotional state of wherever you are in your life, where is it moving you? Is it moving you towards Christ? Is it moving you to some healthy things? Or is it moving you, is it like a vehicle that's moving you somewhere, a place that you don't want to go? When you think about anxiety, where does it move you? Anyone ever felt stressed in their life? Anyone ever felt fear? Anyone ever feel worried? Cast all your anxiety on him because what? He cares for you. Who by worrying can add another single day to your life? Where is that vehicle taking you when you feel those emotions, anxiety? There's never a day I don't come up here that I don't have a little bit of anxiety. Where is it taking me? I give it to God. I give it to God. Have you ever felt loneliness? Where does that vehicle take you? Ever felt joy? Where does that joy take you? Ever felt anger? Where is it taking you? Ever felt prideful? Like you're the man, you're the woman? Where is it taking you? Ever felt love and unconditional love towards somebody? Where has that taken you? Have you ever felt brokenness before God? Where did that take you? For many of us, when we are broken before the Holy Spirit, when we have become bankrupt, where does that take us? Often takes us. It takes me to the throne of grace. It takes me to the cross. It takes me to a place that no other place can ever take me or fill me. My wife can't do it on her best day. My parents, no amount of money, no amount of things, no amount of anything can fulfill what Jesus Christ fulfills for me when I am broken before the Lord and I look at Jesus Christ as my answer for everything. And what does that do? That brings me great excitement. as well. It brings me excitement to want to follow God. It gives me excitement to want to preach God's word. It gives me excitement not to give up. It gives me an excitement to be able to invest in someone's life, for someone to invest in their life to me, for me to take down the walls of my emotional pride and my emotional whatever that I'm feeling at that time, or my anger or my whatever. And I say, you know what? I am going to now, because I'm broken, I can take down that wall. I don't have to act like I got it all together. I've never met one person that has it all together. And the only person that I know that ever thought that they had it together had nothing together. God gave us His word to feel something and to help us move to Him. It's to feel something and to help us to move towards Him. That's what emotions are supposed to do. God gave Himself in human form, in Jesus' form, to have a personal relationship with Him for all of eternity. To move towards Him. Emotion is all about the movement. It's the vehicle to get you somewhere, to move you somewhere. And that's why I want to share real stories that Jesus dealt with in His life, with real people, with real circumstances, things that you guys deal with, that I deal with on a daily basis, and say, how did Jesus Christ do that and deal with that and still not sin, still not worry, still was able to give it to His Father? John 1:1. John 1:1 says this: in the beginning the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Screw down just a little bit to 14. So the Word became what? Flesh. Human. Jesus Christ. And made His home, or you could say dwelt, or you can say tabernacled among us. And He was full of unfailing, what is that? Unfailing love, faithfulness, what is it? Grace and truth. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? There's where His, there's where the Word took you. There's the vehicle. The Word of God will take you in a vehicle, and if you have Jesus Christ in your life, it will take you to, look, those are pretty unbelievable things. Those are pretty spiritual, healthy things. It will bring you to fullness, unfailing, unconditional love, truth, faithfulness, grace. Who doesn't want that in their life? It is said that in the New Testament, just in the four Gospels, that Jesus, it was recorded that Jesus Christ experienced 39 different emotions. The Apostle Paul, when they're writing and when they're walking with Him each day, they have experienced, watching Him experience 39 different emotions. I didn't even know there were 39 emotions. And actually, psychologists actually described they went up to 27. That's their top, is 27. And then I realized many of us have had teenagers. Or were teenagers. And then you're right. Yeah, there are at least maybe 54 emotions. It's important for me to share with you guys the true stories of what Jesus experienced in His life. I want us to be real. I want us to get raw. I want us to be vulnerable. I want us to be able to look at ourselves as we see the stories about Jesus Christ, to be able to see what He felt. So as I wrap things up here, I want us to look at one raw emotional experience that Jesus felt about none other, and why not, since it's Mother's Day, about His mom, Mary. Jesus's mother, you know, it becomes really emotional for me because my mom's name is Mary. And my mom loves her kids like Jesus, you know, Mary loved her kids. She had James, she had some sisters. She adopted a son named John later on, I'll get to. Like Mary, she's faithful, like my mom. She loves God. So many different emotions that I think about. But what can we say about Mary? No, seriously, what do y'all think about Mom? Now's your time to talk. No, just, what do y'all think about? What did Jesus think about his mom, Mary? First of all, Jesus thought these things. She was a woman of great courage and faith in God. Well, of course she was. She had this. She had Jesus. No, she was already faithful to God before she had Jesus. Think about that. Before she became a mom, technically, before she was even married, she was engaged. But before that, what was passed on to her from probably her mom and her grandparents and other spiritual mentors of other women that invested in her life, she grew up and she was only, someone says, somewhere between 12 and 16 years of age. We don't know for sure if she was 12, 14, 16. I can't tell you. All I know is that she was a young woman that already, as a teenager, she was already in love with God. And I'm telling you, it probably didn't just happen from her daddy. Because daddy probably was not around as much as mom and grandma. And they're the ones that mentor. They're the ones that have usually do the discipling to other girls. And that's why I can say I'm so proud of all the women here. I'm so proud of your courage. I'm so proud of you going the next step to mentor. You don't have to be a mom to be a mentor and a godly difference in people's life. If that's what God gave and that's what God took away, our song, we learn to deal with that. But we overcome and we do whatever God is asking us to do, like Mary, and that is to have great courage and faith and realize what your purpose on earth is for. Yet sometimes that raw emotion, that anxiety, that depression, that feeling of saying, I don't measure up like these other women, and I'm supposed to be married at 22.5 years, and I'm supposed to have 3.2 kids by now, and I'm supposed to have $100,000 in my savings account, and I'm supposed to have this house and these cars and this dog, and I'm supposed to make sure that the college is already ready to go, and this is already, and the kids, they already knew Christ at 1 year old and been baptized at two, and they are godly, leading people to the Lord. We conjure up all these things because we think that that's what other people are doing. When all along, you're right where God has you for a reason. You're doing great, by the way. Could we all improve a little bit? Sure. Could Mary improve? Absolutely. But you are right where God wants you, and you can't be at a better place than that. On your worst day, on your saddest day, on your lonely day, on your anger day, on your whatever day, you are experiencing real, honest, vulnerable emotions that God gave you to move you. Where is He moving you today? Where did He move you from? And where is He moving you to? Imovir, as long as you keep moving. Because the day you stop moving, that's when you got to go back to Christ. You got to look at what He did. You got to look at the life of Mary, because she was just a poor girl. In that day, she was insignificant. She didn't come from any powerful family or royal places. She was young. She was naive. She didn't have it together. She's still learning from mom. She's still learning from grandma, from mentors, from dads, from all these people. I mean, John 1:46 says, Nathaniel said, nothing good comes from Nazareth. She came from the worst place, from the worst state, the worst everything. And then God says, this is a faithful woman. Young teenager. The angel said, you were chosen. The angel said, you are highly favored. So what does she say? What does Mary do? Luke 1:38 says this. So Mary responded. It's a great place to start. Imover. She began to move. Watch this. I am the Lord's servant, and may everything that you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Imover, she began to move. She began to realize what she just ended up getting, what she just ended up getting possessed with in the good way. By the Holy Spirit coming inside of her and giving her child. Because it had to be that way. And there she takes it all in. And then she goes, Imover. And she keeps moving. And so she becomes the second thing. She becomes instrumental in Jesus' whole rearing, in his whole bringing up. And she's obedient. All you moms out there, listen to me. You're doing a great job. On your worst day, you feel you're doing a great job. Because it is not easy raising. It's the hardest job in the world. And I've never seen a book that tells you how to do it perfectly. Besides this one. But even through this one, you have the freedom in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you working and imovering in your life to feel what you need to feel, to move you to what you need to feel and move to. So she was instrumental in Jesus' bringing up because she was so obedient. Did you know that Mary, from that day when Angel Gabriel came, she knew the impact of why Jesus came to this earth from day one. Let me ask you. Let's get raw. Let's get real. Let's be vulnerable. Do you personally know why Jesus came? I mean, do you really truly know? And if you truly know why Jesus came, what type of impact is he really making in your life to move you? I think that oftentimes that could be a tough question to answer. Not the first one. We know why he came. Cliff Note version, he came to die for the sins of the world. John 3:16, 17. But what impact did he make? What impact is he making in your life right now to imover, to move you in a place that's a closer relationship to him? If you are stagnant, if you're staying in a place, just talk to him about it. Figure out what's going on. What's the true emotions that you're feeling? Is it that you're bitter? Is it that you're upset? Is it that you're angry? Is it that you're feeling lonely? Is it because you don't know how? Is it, what is it that's keeping you from moving? And even if you move and you're still feeling those ways, it's okay. God can handle it. Because he was feeling that way. You feel what you feel because God felt what that feels. I don't even know if that made sense. But I know that he felt it. I know that he created that image, so it's got to be normal. It's got to be real. It's got to be raw. And I'm going to show you stories of why you feel what you feel. But is he making an impact in your life? Luke 1:29-33. Getting close here. Luke chapter 1, 29 through 33. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid." There's an emotion that Mary is feeling. The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." No. "You will name him Jesus. You will name him the Messiah, the Redeemer, the great I am. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne." Watch this. "He will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus was at his going on a pilgrimage with his family. And there he stays behind in the temples. He was 12 years old. It's the only scripture that talks about, besides it goes from his birth to 12 years old, from 12 years old to age 30. And then you have what's known as the missing 18 years, from 18 to 30, when he begins his ministry. So what was he doing at that time? Well, what he was doing at 12 years old is that he was about his father's business. And what was his father's business? It was all about making an impact. It was about to tell the world that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can go to the Father except through him. And Mary and Daddy and Joseph, they didn't know where he was. And then when they went back, they came back to the temple, and they found him there teaching. And that's when he got to remind his mom, because it might have been 12 years. Isn't it sometimes we just forget things? I mean, she did have a baby conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. You would think that she would remember this and know this and not forget. So she asked the question, "What are you doing?" He said, "Didn't I tell you I'm about my father's business?" See, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes in our life, we just forget why and what the impact of Jesus Christ is making here on this earth. We forget. Yet we know this, yet how quickly can we forget in our own lives? In Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. He did normal stuff like we did. He's growing up around people. He was not placed in a temple and kept there and never talked to anybody and just worshiped there and just stayed there. He never did that. No, he was making an impact with people. Raw emotions. I'm sure people said stuff to him he did not like. I'm sure he felt many of the same things that you felt. But Mary was also faithful to everyone. She was faithful to her husband Joseph. Matthew 1:20 says this, "And she considered this, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph also in a dream." Because why? He wanted to divorce her. He wanted to go ahead. Basically, when you were betrothed, you were already married. It was an engagement, but it was engagement. The deal was already done. You're getting married. So when she has child, she's like, "You don't understand." So this Gabriel came to me and died, and is going to allow me to have a son, and you're going to see what's going to happen. And Joseph, son of David, the angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary," because what was he feeling? True emotions too. Confused, maybe angry, maybe sad. "For this child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." She was faithful to her friends at the wedding party. And she was faithful all the way up to the cross. As the praise team comes on up today, I want you to hear these last words. Mary was faithful to not only to her son, but Mary was faithful to the Son of God, all the way up to the cross. She had great courage and faith. She was instrumental in bringing him up and obedient. She was faithful to every single person, including her husband, to her friends, and all the way up to the Son of God in her life before she knew Jesus Christ, and all the way to the point of the cross where she said, and it says, standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, John, and he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to John, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home and he cared for her. Why? Because